You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Spanish Love Songs are back with No Joy, the follow-up to 2020's A Little Alternative Album of the Year, Brave Faces Everyone, and I'm delighted to be joined by frontman Dylan Slocum. Dylan, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.
You're back in the UK. You were here just for 5 minutes last year for a couple of warm-up shows and Slam Dunk. There was a tour that's cancelled.
Yeah.
You're back now. How does it feel to be back this side of the pond?
It's great. It's great to be back and not have COVID, which is, that's why that last one got canceled. No, it's good. Everybody's pretty happy and the crowds have been great. And obviously we have a new record, which makes it even coming back. Last year would have been fun to do the Brave Faces of it all and give Brave Faces a proper tour. But actually, if you think about it, the UK was the only place that got a pretty good Brave Faces tour, other than a few parts of America, because Brave Faces came out in February, and then we did the UK dates with the Menzingers, and then we went home and did like 2 weeks, and then everything shut down. We didn't feel that guilty because, you know, Germany is waiting. Germany's so mad. They're like, where have you been? But yeah, no, it's been great to be back. And obviously it's some of our favorite places on earth, especially coming up north, just for both how exciting it always is. And also just the band's family ties to Scotland in particular. It's always fun to be up here.
So should we go on to the record then?
Yeah.
Let's get into it. How's the reception been to it so far?
It's been great. Been as good as you could hope when you make an album. You know, we always just set out to make something that satisfies us creatively and makes us happy with the work that we've done. And then you just kind of put it out in the world and hope that people are happy that you're happy. And if they're not, that sucks. But if they are, it's great. And so far, you know, most people have been okay with it. We've had a few people who are mad that we're not a punk band anymore or something, but whatever. You just get off the train, right? It's like, we're not a worse band. Your tastes just don't align with where we are anymore. Just kindly step to the side and just listen to our old albums, and that's fine.
Brave Faces Everyone was such a big success for you guys. Like, massive success. Talked to many people's albums of the year list. Mm-hmm. Was there any sort of worry or apprehension when coming to write its follow-up? Was like, right, okay, we've made this massive thing.
No.
How do we top it?
No, I think the pandemic helped sort of take it out at the knees, so it didn't feel that successful to us because we didn't get to really live with it. We had some growth, but I think it would have been a different thing had the pandemic not happened. Maybe it would have been worse because people wouldn't have been locked at home all sad, but it was definitely different. So when it came time to work on this album, it was like, cool, let's just do another album, because who cares what we did before, because the world has changed and we've changed and this could disappear at any moment. So we might as well just do exactly what we want to do at all times. That way we can at least hold our heads high with the work that we've done.
It's the thing of your latest record not being the definitive body of work. Is just a snapshot of what your life is like now.
That's just how I think of most records should be. I would hate to have a signature album, which, I mean, obviously we will and do, but I'm the type of person who my favorite album from any band is the latest album they've put out, because I'm excited for what is making them excited.
Now, you've touched on it a little bit. Sonically, this album is pretty different. You can draw maybe a straight line between Brave Faces, etc. in this one.
I'd say you go from Brave Faces, and it's this huge, like, 90-degree left turn to Etc., and then it's a diagonal back at 45 degrees in between both of those albums. I personally don't think it's that crazy of a departure. We turned down the distortion on the guitars and just mixed the synths louder, and everybody's like, it's changed! Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I guess maybe it is for some people.
Well, and you've said in other places that this kind of came from the pandemic. You discovered loads of new wave music, and then with being in Nashville as well, being able to go and record it there.
Yeah.
How did that all come together when you got the songs together and you were like, right, let's make Spanish Love Songs go new wave?
I mean, I grew up listening to new wave music, so it wasn't like a huge thing. Like, my first band in high school was like a synth punk band. So it was this has always been in my wheelhouse. But yeah, leaning into like some of the more like the Cure elements, I guess, or some New Order type stuff. That just happened naturally. Just I rediscovered a lot of that music in the pandemic, and I was making like these workout playlists that was all, you know, music from 1981 to 1987 or something. Listening to nothing but that and ambient music for like a year and a half. That's just where my tastes are too, currently. Taking that and then the Nashville side of things and being around, I love country music and being around stuff like that. And working with Colin, who's sort of a indie, you know, alt indie producer, which was great. He wanted to make a big rock record and we wanted to make a big not rock record, and I think that sort of fused together in this fun way. We just wanted to make like a Bruce Springsteen 1980s album sonically, which I think it comes through.
Songs in the record I've been floating about for a while. I remember hearing Marvel in the Brave Faces Everyone first birthday stream.
That song's old.
Yeah, there was a demo of Lifers that went up on Patreon about a year ago. How do you know when you've got enough tracks to go, right, album time? And on the other side, how do you know when you're finished, apart from deadlines?
No, that is it. It's deadlines for both questions. We know that it's time to go record an album when the date to go record the album is there. And I hope I have enough songs by that point. And you know that the album's finished when the date you said you have to be finished by passes and that you're finished. You know, because with Brave Faces, we had a date and I only had 12 songs written going into the studio. 10 made the album, one was a B-side, one never even got recorded. And then on this one, I had 14 songs going in. Two of those got completely destroyed and remade into other songs, and then 12 made the album. Two did not get recorded, and they will be recorded at some point. I'm not somebody who writes like 30 songs and go, I hate writing songs. It's so much work. Like, I might as well just do it right the first time. Oh, it's so annoying to have to revise a song over and over. Because I do that anyways, yeah. But to do that for 30 songs would be impossible. And I think people that say they write like 30 songs and go to the studio, they know that half of them are crap. They just did it for the exercise. When a song's crap, I do away with it immediately. I don't want to chase it down if I know it's not working.
This record, much like your previous ones, there's lots of recurring themes, call back to previous tracks, call back to previous albums even. I know you've got a background in film and TV. Mm-hmm. Is it a beginning, middle, end? Or do these things come in naturally? And when you're writing, do you just go, oh, this will be a fun thing to put in?
I mean, on a practical level, again, hating writing songs, when I can just steal from one of my previous songs, it's really easy. And that's awesome, if it makes sense thematically. No, I think it's fun to like create some weird cinematic universe, for lack of a better term. It's not like a planned thing where I'm like, this is character A from this song, and then, you know, 10 years later I'm writing this song from character's perspective. It's just like, I'll start writing a song and then I'll figure out what the story is, and then sometimes I go, oh, this is emotionally in my head related to this song, so it would be fun to just do a callback or throw something in there. Like Haunted is a great example. Originally that was like, it's just a devil in your skin, it'll be this way forever. Well, that's pretty close to it'll be this bleak forever, so let's just do that.
Oh, go on, why not?
Yeah, it's like, that'll be fun, and then somebody will listen to it and go, oh my god, he referenced that other song.
And
and like, it's a cheap move, but it's exciting when that happens. Yeah. I think it's great. And I love listening to songs that do that, where I go, oh, hell yeah, he referenced that song from this other thing. And then that, and I love playing that game. So yeah, I think it's a fun way to like do some world building and, I don't know, make it less boring.
For some of our blind or partially sighted listeners, could you describe the album cover for this, please?
I like the idea of taking these sort of found pieces of art and making a connection between them. And for Brave Faces and for No Joy, we use the same photographer, our buddy Mitchell. And he's just an amazing photographer who captures these moments of life the same way that I like to capture something in a song. So for No Joy, he sent me a bunch of photos. We had more time this time to prep and think about things, and he would just pour through old photographs and he sent me 50 options, you know, and just try to find the one that emotionally resonates. And so the cover of this one is a young woman named Bonnie at I think it was a New Year's Eve party or a Christmas party or something in New York City, and he has her staring at the camera, throwing up a peace sign next to her eyes, and there's a disco ball behind her. It's in black and white. It's beautiful. And she's actually out of focus. The disco ball is the focal point, which is really interesting to me because it just tells this great story. And it resonated with me in terms of the album and the idea of losing the people you love and sort of losing focus of them and the depression of life that can set in. So that's set in black and white. And that allowed us to do a black and white aesthetic, which I love. And the only thing in color is the words No Joy on the cover. They're in yellow. And then the back is entirely in black and white. And the inside has this even more obscure photo, I think at the same party or at a different wedding party, where the entire photo is out of focus and you can't see people's faces and it's just like a blur of life. And yeah, Mitchell's great. It's fun to play with those perspectives. And yeah, I guess being a accessibility focused thing too, the working of vision on the actual album cover itself is kind of interesting. I haven't really thought that deeply about it.
Finally, Dylan, you're in the UK at the moment with Hot Mulligan. What's coming up for you for the rest of the year and then going into next year? You've obviously just announced that big UK tour next year.
We have this, and then we go home for 3 weeks, and then we do a Hot Mulligan tour in the States with Hot Mulligan and Heart Attack Man and Ben Quad. And that's like most of the United States plus a Canada date. That's a gruel. That's like 6 weeks. So that takes us basically up through Christmas, which is crazy. And then we're back here on like January 10th, we come back, and January 11th is our first show. We're doing a long UK tour, which I'm very excited about. We're going to places we haven't been to in a long time or never been. So like, we're going back to Norwich. We're doing Liverpool. We're going back to Brighton, back to Southampton, doing Wales for the first time, which I'm so excited about. We're back in Glasgow. most importantly. I'm going to say it in the Glasgow accent the only way I know, at the Gettage.
Wow.
That's what we call it, because we've had a friend take us there before, and we're like, oh, we're going to the garage. And so he's like, yeah, the Gettage. And so we're like, now we just call it the Gettage, and we love it. So yeah, we'll be back here. And then next year we have a thing in the US that's not announced yet. Pretty much we're just going to be bouncing back and forth between the US and Europe for the next year, probably, if not more. I mean, touring's great, and we're happy to be back out and see what we can do.
Fantastic stuff. Well, Dylan Slocum, frontman of A Spanish Love Song, thank you so much for joining us here.
Of course, thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Life's just very long. Brave faces, everyone.